This past Monday, the California Supreme Court tossed out the death sentence of a man convicted of murdering rock guitarist Dave Navarro's mother and her friend nearly 30 years ago, a ruling that could affect the cases of Scott Peterson and other death row inmates. Capital punishment, it's a highly controversial subject within our culture and even within the church. What do you believe about capital punishment? Do you think the Bible teaches capital punishment, or do you think the Bible forbids capital punishment? Do you think someone should be put to death for a murder that they have committed, or do you think they ought to be given a life sentence and be forgiven, and they should not be killed? Well, that's what I want to talk about this morning, is the subject of capital punishment. Now, as you know, we are going through the social ethics series. We're looking at subjects such as abortion, drinking, euthanasia, sexual morality. We're going to be looking at homosexuality. What does the Bible say about that? But for this morning, we want to look at the subject of capital punishment. Now, here is how Wikipedia defines capital punishment. It says, it is a legal process whereby a person is put to death by the state as a punishment for a crime. Crimes that can result in a death penalty are known as capital crimes or capital offenses. The term capital originates from the Latin word capitalis, literally regarding the head. So when you hear the word capital punishment, the word literally in its derivative form means the head. Why? Because in that day, when they would kill people, one of the common forms of execution was to cut off a person's head. Now, historically and even today, capital punishment has been applied for various crimes. For example, some people have been killed because of political dissent. Some people have been killed for military crimes, sexual sins, apostasy, and that's in the Middle Eastern countries. If you deny Islam, they will kill you. Human trafficking, drug trafficking, and serious crimes of corruption today in China are still considered capital offenses. Now, there are some nations that believe in capital punishment, but they haven't really practiced it for such a long time. Now, what are some of the methods that they have used historically when it comes to capital punishment? Here they are. Boiling. Some of these I had to look up because I didn't understand them. Breaking wheel. That's when they put you on a wheel and they stretch you out and then they do all kinds of torturous things to you. Disembowelment, dismemberment, drawing and quartering. Elephant. I actually looked up a picture on that one. They literally take an elephant and the elephant will step on your chest and crush you. That'd be a nice way to go. Flaying, impalement, sawing, slow slicing. They use that in China. Okay, these are common forms of execution. Now, that was in the past. What do they use today when they commit capital punishment? Here are some current methods that are used. Decapitation, electrocution, gas chamber, hanging, lethal injection, shooting, firing squad, stoning, and then, of course, the nitrogen asphyxiation. These are common methods that are used today. Now, here's the question that I want to ask and answer this morning. Does the Bible teach capital punishment? And the answer is yes. The Bible teaches that a person is to be killed for first-degree murder. If a person commits first-degree murder, not involuntary manslaughter, the Bible says capital punishment should be applied. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, this is great, but how does this really apply to my life? Well, more than likely, most of you in here will not commit murder and thereby maybe incurring capital punishment. But the Bible makes it clear that when you and I are angry with somebody, when we hold on to bitterness, Jesus said that's the equivalent of murder. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, here's what he said. You have heard that it is said to the people long ago, do not what? Murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. That means capital punishment. That was based on the Old Testament. He said, look, you guys know the Old Testament law. If you commit murder, you're going to be punished for it. Capital punishment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Jesus is taking the act of murder that people often commit in our culture and may incur capital punishment from. He's going deeper, and he's saying the act is wrong, but I'm more concerned about the attitude behind the act, and that is anger. That is bitterness. Sometimes we murder people with our words. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have bitterness towards somebody this morning? Do you have a grudge? Has somebody wronged you? Maybe you loaned money to somebody, they didn't pay you back. Maybe somebody left you for another person and you're bitter. Or maybe your marriage went bad and you're angry. Or it could be somebody stole something from you. We have a lot of things. Maybe somebody said something behind your back and they wounded you deeply. Whatever the issue is, Jesus said, if you choose to nurse anger, bitterness, and hatred towards other people, that's like you are murdering that person. Now, obviously, you will not be put to death by God, but as we're going to see later, when you hold on to these attitudes, God literally chastens his children. But the Bible specifically says that people are to experience capital punishment for first-degree murder. Now, to prove this, I'm going to look at several things this morning. First of all, I want to look at the biblical basis for capital punishment. The biblical basis for capital punishment. Now, as we build our theology of this, we're going to center it around Moses. And we're going to look at three different time periods. And what I'm going to do, this is going to be, I hate to say, more than preaching. It's going to be more of a teaching time because I want to give you what the Bible says about this subject. Now, let's look at before Moses. If you'll notice this timeline, here's Adam, and here is the time of Moses. So in this time period, what does the Bible say about capital punishment? This is before the Mosaic Law. There's several things, but here's the main one. Genesis 9, verse 6, it says this. And by the way, this was after the flood. Before the flood, what was going on? Was it evil? Yes. In fact, it says the imagination of everybody's heart was evil, and violence and murder was running rampant before the flood. That's one of the reasons why God drowned that civilization. So after the flood, when Noah gets off the boat, God lays down a new law, and here's what it is. And for each human being too, I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made mankind. So this principle here, after the flood, is a universal principle because it's tied to the Noahic covenant. Remember, God made a covenant with Noah and he put a rainbow in the sky? That is a universal covenant. And within that covenant is this law that anybody who takes the life of another person, first degree murder, their life is required by God. So that's before the Mosaic Law. Now, let's move on. How about during the Mosaic Law? What does the Bible say? Here is this time period when God gave the law to Moses up until the time Jesus died. So in between this period is the Mosaic Law. What does the Bible say? Now, it's very clear under the Mosaic Law that first-degree murder was a capital offense and God required the death penalty. Look what this verse says right here. Exodus 21, anyone who strikes a man and kills him shall surely be put to what? Death, first-degree murder. However, if he does not do it what? Intentionally, there is second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter. It says, God, and God lets it happen, he is to flee to a place I will designate. But if a man schemes and kills another man deliberately, take him away from my altar and put him what? To death. Now, as we're going to see, God had very little pity, unlike our culture today. But in the Old Testament, under the Mosaic Law, God says, premeditated murder requires the death penalty, not involuntary manslaughter. Now, under the Mosaic Law, you could be put to death not only for premeditated murder, but there were other sins that you could be put to death for, and here are some of them. Now, it depends on the list that you look at. Some people think there's 21, some people think there are 36, but here are some of them that you could be put to death for if you committed under the Mosaic system. All right, so these were considered capital offenses back during the Mosaic Law, okay? So what have we seen so far? Is capital punishment biblical? Before the Mosaic Law, God laid it down in Genesis chapter 9. Yes, it's universal. Under the Mosaic Law, you were required to kill somebody if they committed first-degree murder, and it was also a crime if you committed religious sins, sexual sins, or ceremonial sins. God required the death penalty as well. Now, let me go to the next category, and that is this. Oh, by the way, how was capital punishment carried out under the Mosaic law? Here is how God specified it. It was to be confirmed by two or three what? Witnesses. So if somebody committed a capital crime, it had to be confirmed by two or three witnesses. We do that today in our court of law. It was to be done without what? Pity. It was to be done without partiality. You don't play favorites. If somebody's rich, you don't get them off because they got a lot of money. It was to be done what? Say it out loud. Swiftly. You don't give them cable TV and let them sit for 12 years and keep taking it through legal processes. And then it was carried out by the witness and then everyone else. So the witness who accused the person and then two or three other witnesses, the initial witness was the one who would cast the first stone. And then the other people would be involved in the killing. Now, today, if we would do this, if you're going to sue me, okay, if I lose, I pay not only my legal fees, but I pay your legal fees. Now, I know that's not capital punishment, but there's a principle here. Why do you think God had the witness cast the first stone? Why? If he was wrong or he was trumping up the charges, what would happen? That was actually a capital offense. If you bore false witness and you lied and you were caught, guess what happened to you? It was curtains for you. So God used this as a deterrent to keep people from coming up with frivolous lawsuits or accusations. And you see, our culture doesn't get this. This is why people hate the legal system. It's because people can sue you for frivolous things, and what happens? Even if they lose, you're stuck with $5,000 or $10,000 legal fees. Okay? So that's how it was to be done in the Mosaic Law. Now, there's one other time period, and that is this. After the Mosaic Law, what does the Bible teach about capital punishment? This is the New Testament era. This is Christ here, and this is up until he comes back at his second coming. What does the Bible teach about capital punishment? Well, it's kind of implied, but there's one verse that's very explicit about it. Let me share with you these verses. Matthew 26, in the garden, Peter's going to take out his sword. He's going to kill one of the servants of the high priest, and Jesus says, "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to Peter. "For all who draw the sword," what does it say? "Will die by the sword." See, Jesus is implicitly implying here capital punishment. You kill that person, your life's going to be required. Here's another verse. John chapter 19, Jesus is on trial before Pilate. Pilate said to him, "Where do you come from?" Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate says, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or crucify you?" And notice Jesus' answer. "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from where? Above." Jesus is implying here that Rome was given the power to enact capital punishment. Next verse. Luke 23. Two thieves on the cross. But the other criminal rebuked him, that is the other thief, because he was criticizing Jesus, and he said, "Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds what? Deserve." In other words, he's implying here, look, we're getting our just deserts. Capital punishment is implied here. Acts 25:11, Paul here is on trial before one of the governors in the book of Acts. He says, "If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to what? Die." There it is. See, Paul understood capital punishment was taught in the Old Testament law. He knew this. Okay, now, this next verse is probably, next one, probably the most explicit one taught in the New Testament. It's in Romans. It says, "Everyone must submit himself to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." In other words, God, the Bible says you are to submit to government. When is the only time you're not to submit to our government? If it violates Scripture, okay? But otherwise, if you don't like Barack Obama, you don't agree with his policies in Congress, the Bible says submit, pay your taxes, be a good citizen. You don't have to agree with everything. Why? God has instituted government. And then it says this, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. And then he goes on. Now, here's the key in the verse. But if you do wrong, be what? Afraid, for he does not, here it is, bear the sword for what? Nothing. The sword here is a symbol of death. And what it's saying here is this. He is, that is government, is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the what? Wrongdoer. So, this verse explicitly teaches that when a person does wrong, they commit a capital offense, primarily first-degree murder, they are to be killed or they are to be punished for that. So, let me summarize what we've said on the biblical basis of capital punishment. Here's what we've looked at. Capital punishment is taught in all three periods. Before Moses, you were punished for what? Murder. During the Mosaic Law, you were punished not only for murder, but other sins as well. Ceremonial sins, sexual sins. God gave a list of 21 at least that you could be killed for. And then after Moses, which is the New Testament, it clearly teaches murder. So what do we learn from this? Here's what we learn. We cannot use the Mosaic Law to teach capital punishment. Why? Why can't we use the Mosaic Law to teach capital punishment? In practice, why? When was the last time somebody who committed adultery was killed in our country? How about keeping the Sabbath? Anybody punished in this country for not keeping the Sabbath? So why can't we use the Mosaic Law? Here's the reason why. Israel was a theocracy. What is a theocracy? It's one nation ruled by God. They had a special relationship with God. God gave Israel his special laws, his distinctive laws, and therefore, you got to be careful in using the Mosaic Law. Now, there are Christians today who argue for this, and they say America should be run like it was run under the Mosaic system. So adulterers should be stoned today. They should be killed. Homosexuals should be killed. People who engage in premarital sex should be killed. Man, what would that do to our nation? They believe that we should enact the Mosaic Law. The problem with that is this. Israel was God's unique nation, and he gave them special laws, and therefore, many of those laws have been done away with in the New Testament. We don't kill people for not keeping the Sabbath today. We don't kill people for an incorrigible child. Because in the Old Testament, if your kid was incorrigible and rebellious, what happened? They were stoned to death. You say, man, I think we ought to do that today. Yeah, then maybe your kid will be dead. I know I would have been dead a long time ago. So here's the question. If I can't use the Mosaic Law, then why are you arguing that capital punishment is biblical? Here's why. Capital punishment for murder predates what? The Mosaic period. Remember, it was in the time of Noah, and it's repeated in the New Testament. Therefore, it's applicable for today. And by the way, this is a principle of how you know what in the Mosaic system carries over into the New Testament. Because some of you read the Old Testament, you go, wait a minute, why don't we follow these laws in the Mosaic system? Why don't they carry over into the New Covenant? Here's how you know. If it's repeated in the New Testament, it's still applicable today. So it says in the Old Testament, God hates premarital sex. Is that repeated in the New Testament? Yes or no? Yes. It says in the Old Testament, homosexuality is an abomination. Is that repeated in the New Testament? Yes. So if you're reading the Mosaic Law and you read something, here's the question you ask. Does it carry over? If it does, and it's repeated in the New Testament, it's still applicable. Let me give you another one. All of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament except for which one? Sabbath. Do not, remember in the Old Testament, God says keep the Sabbath. Is that repeated in the New Covenant? No. Therefore, we don't keep the Sabbath today. How about tithing? Tithing was in the Mosaic system. So people say, see, the Mosaic law is done away with, all those ceremonies. Therefore, tithing is no longer for today. Question, is it repeated in the New Testament? It's implied. Does tithing predate the Mosaic system before Moses? Yes. Therefore, tithing, we say, is what? For today. So that's a principle for you as you study the Bible. How do you know what carries over? Let me give you one other illustration. How about eating shellfish? The dietary laws that God gave Israel in the Old Testament, do they carry over into the New Testament? Am I allowed to eat shellfish? Are you sure? Why? Here's the reason. It's not repeated in the New Testament. You never see Jesus or the apostles say, watch what you eat. Watch what you eat because it's a ceremonial issue with God. In fact, in the New Testament, not only is dietary laws not repeated, but Jesus actually repeals them. And he says, it's not what goes into you that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you. So those are principles to help you do this. So here is the biblical basis for capital punishment. It's taught in all three periods, before Moses, during Moses, after Moses. But we can't use the Mosaic system in practice to defend capital punishment because they were killed in the Old Testament for all kinds of crimes. So we ask this question, is it repeated before Moses? What's the answer? Yes, during Noah's time, God laid it down in Genesis 9:6. And is it repeated in the New Covenant? Yes. So, capital punishment today is biblical, and I think the United States of America should practice capital punishment. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, this is great, but I've never murdered somebody, and I never will. Therefore, what's the relevancy for me today? Here's the relevancy. Jesus said, if you have hatred towards your brother, you are unforgiving, and you don't like somebody, and you have a grudge against them, Jesus said, that's as if you are what to that person? Murdering them. Have you ever murdered somebody with your words? I have.